folks, 13-3 here, well into our second season with our guests, outdoor rink guys, Eric Ragor, Troy Berg, John Sleep, Mike Collins, and Ryan Flagg. This episode is sponsored by Kelly Heating and Electric, Computer Recovery Associates, Dooley's Pub, and Chippewa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Mogi.
Hey, this is really a cool night for us. Special thank you to Eric and Jessica Ragor for hosting us in their hockey shack. This is beautiful. We got some of our Wednesday and Monday night hockey buddies out here watching. So this should be a really fun night. Thanks for coming, everybody. And Ragors, thanks so much for having us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, everyone, for coming out tonight. And I know that we did an episode with some young kids last year, and thanks for recommending that we try this again this year.
You know, we should point out that Eric is a two-time guest on T-Boz.
That is true.
You know, former Badger captain, and he's a
great humanitarian award winner.
Absolutely. Leading the league in penalty minutes that same year.
I think he's getting tired of hearing that every time.
For sure. I'm best at locker room stories, so I'm better at the after show.
Right. I like it. Hey, let's start out with Troy over here.
Absolutely.
You know, yep. Outdoor rink guy, but how did you get involved in the sport of hockey? Were you a hockey player?
I played a little hockey growing up. Actually, one of my earliest memories was skating outdoors in my red snowmobile suit. It's probably 2 or 3 years old. Piling out of the Galaxy 500, going up to the neighborhood park. And, you know, we all have these early memories, like just as we're gaining our consciousness. And mine is literally of being on an outdoor rink.
Wow. Was that based on your parents or was it the town?
Based on my parents. So Bloomington, there were a lot of outdoor rinks. And, you know, even in-season hockey in high school, people would go skate on the rink after hockey practice.
Awesome. Flagger, how about you?
Well, I grew up in the Twin Cities area, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and hockey was the sport. So, of course, we played hockey. I had three brothers, all four of us played, and it was nothing unusual when we'd get home from school, take our skates and walk to the park, and we'd skate until Dad was on his way home from work, and he'd pick us up. And it continued through high school, and even a couple of my buddies on the high school team had backyard rinks, and we'd go play boot hockey after our varsity games in the cities. So, just wanted to do it for my kids and for the neighbor kids. That's what got me started with an outdoor rink.
Here you go.
I love it.
Passing on the love, man.
Sleepy?
So I watched my brother play back when he was probably 9, 10 years old, and I was 4 years older than him. So that's when I kind of started because I went down and watched a few games that he was playing, and I thought, you know what, I'll give this a try. And next thing you know, Mom and Dad were always going out Friday nights out to eat. So we decided, you know, we had a snowblower back then. It's like, let's blow the snow out of the backyard. And we got the hose out and we flooded the backyard, created our own little rink, and Mom and Dad got home. There was a few words said there too, but
what could go wrong,
that's how
JC?
We got started.
Leaving two boys home alone?
Yeah, that's how we got started.
That's awesome. Rags, what was the big deal with you putting up your rink? Mostly kids, or did you grow up on an outdoor rink too?
So I grew up in Superior, Wisconsin, and we had outdoor rinks at just about a block or two from every public elementary school. And so I grew up playing with the neighborhood kids on our rink. And then, just like Sleepy said, my dad actually shoveled off the yard, and we didn't have a level yard or anything. It sloped down, but my dad, and I didn't have hockey-playing parents, so this was first generation for my brother and I, and so my dad built a rink in the yard as well. And it was just snowbanks and things like that. So, but what I remember most about my childhood was going to the neighborhood rink. It was Aloise. The neighborhood was called Aloise in Superior. But we had a shack. And so as we sit here and do the show in the shack here, we bought this house about 5 years ago. And this was an old alpaca barn. And so I thought of my childhood where I wanted to create a warming shack just like I grew up with. So we added, Chad Olson donated the wood stove over there. And we've got some other amenities that have come along the way, and we've got the rink 15 feet outside the door, so that I wanted to give my kids the same experience I had growing up.
Do they use it?
You know what? Yes. I was telling some of the guys earlier that in years past, my kids are right now, they're 8, 9, and 11. And so in years past, they would use it when Jessica and I would come out here and direct the kids. Now they're at an age where they'll come down here, put their own skates on, tie them up, and you know, they use it when they can.
The weather's been pretty good for outdoor rink this year, too.
Yeah, we've had the last few weeks have been good. Yeah. You know, first part of January was tough with a lot of slush and snow, but we've got a good stretch going on right now.
Awesome.
Mike.
Mikey, last one. Here we go.
How you doing? Well, I grew up in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada, and in a very popular hockey community, being an hour from Montreal, 4 hours from Toronto, and 10 minutes from the state of New York. And so hockey was everything. That's what you did, hockey in the winter, and hockey in the winter and lacrosse in the summer. And I grew up with a rink in our backyard. My father, he worked so much, he didn't get to be out there with us, but he made sure we had a rink in the backyard. Now, no boards, nothing even remotely what we've done for our kids here. But I think like anything you do as a parent, you always want it to be better for your kids. And finally, when I got to a cold area weather after traveling all over the country coaching, and we got here, and I knew this is a place for a bigger rink and a real rink. And so that's what drove me to it. And I wouldn't turn in a minute that I spent over many years freezing my butt off doing it. And the kids, I think, will have a great memory for the rest of their lives.
So tell us a little bit about what your rinks look like, if when you had them or if you still have them. You know, what were the dimensions? Do you have amenities? Do you have a shack out there? Do you have lights? Do you have boards? Do you have fencing? You know, tell us a little bit about that.
Mike, why don't you go ahead and start with that one?
Well, as any of these guys know, you get a little carried away. it seems like year after year, you continue, whether it's to have a nicer rink than the other guys or a better rink or whatever, but you just keep trying to make it better. And we moved from the East Hill to the South Side, and my wife was going into the houses, looking for what the house would look like. It had no bearing on our purchase. It was going to be the size of the yard. And we found a great place. It ended up being 30 by 70. And again, we moved from the East Hill with a small old house, a one-car garage that only fit my Lincoln, into a house.
Not too small of a garage then. Yeah.
But we moved to a house with a three-car garage. And in the first week, Chad Olson, the local handyman, and I started putting up a shed. And my wife was, why would you need a shed? We just gained two garages. So it's got nothing to do with the garage or the car. So that didn't go over well. But anyway, I put up the shed and I made it 30 by 70. And I had boards. I had backstop netting, lighting. It was a great, great rink. Plenty big enough to tire the kids out. And I think the most enjoyable thing was a Saturday morning, like Rags can attest to, and everyone is sitting in the house just watching the kids outside playing, having fun with no parents, no one in charge, just being kids. And it was a great experience.
I love that story.
That's wonderful.
Rags,
how about you?
Yeah, so I actually got a lot of help from some of the Chad Olson with donated the wood stove and the church pew. But John Leary right behind us, one of our Wednesday night heroes.
Hero is a little bit of a stretch,
but I got some of John's old boards that he had, and like Mike was saying, you know, it's great to have your kids out there using the rink. I'm blessed because we've got plenty of room here, and my rink right now is 32 by 72. The kids think that we've got enough room, we can put a regulation size rink here, but they don't help me shovel that rink. So until they start doing that, it's not going to get any larger. We've got lights on the rink so we can go, we can play at night. We've got 2-foot-high boards. We use a liner when we fill our rink. We fill it up like a swimming pool when it gets cold enough, and we just maintain it. I'm lucky enough to have a water spigot down at this warming shack, so it's just 15 feet out the door. So not too bad for us.
Nice. Johnny?
Yeah, so when my kids were probably somewhere around 8-9 years old, we started thinking that, you know what, maybe I'll get them into hockey, because I loved playing hockey too. Met many good friends through hockey. So we decided, you know what, I'll put up a rink out in the backyard. And when you're growing up for kids, or when I grew up, you know, we did the one in my mom and dad's backyard. But like Mike said, it was just snowbanks at the time. We just did snowbanks. Yep. So this was, you know what, I'm going to get into it. I'm going to cut some boards up. So our boards were 16 inches high. It was a 40 by 80 rink. And I wanted it big enough so that Dad could use it too. So, but like Rag said, the kids, a little tougher to get them help, you know, to get help from them to do all the things. Because it's not easy to do. It's a chore maintaining it, flooding it, setting it up, opening up, closing it. It's all work, but it's still, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. It was a great time. We did the liner too. You know, we had some issues with that too. You create air pockets underneath it while you're trying to fill it. And we just did garden hose filling, and that's a big rink to fill. So it was kind of like an overnight fill. Just let the hose go and go to bed.
Can you just pass the microphone over to Mike? Because I think he had something else going on at his house when he flooded his rink. Something about the fire hydrant out front.
Well, are there any city officials here? Are there any city officials here? I know I got my lawyer over there. I pay my taxes. I just happened to run across a couple of sections of fire hose. And ironically enough, there was a fire hydrant 15 feet from my garage door. The odd thing is my neighbors could never wonder why that there was just streams of ice, because you don't get it shut off right away each time. And on a cold, cold morning, well, it didn't rain, but it got all this fresh ice running down the street coming from this fire hydrant. I didn't see a fire last night. Anyway, so I took advantage of the surroundings, and the tough part was when Hudsy's trying to hold that hose until I get back there, or Braxton, it's flopping around. That didn't go over too well with Mama either. But you got to do what you got to do.
So keeping that in mind, Braxton and Hudson are your two boys that ended up playing hockey themselves, right?
Absolutely. And the rink didn't hurt a bit.
All right. Sorry about that. I just knew he had a little something in his back pocket that I wanted to make sure you shared with the people.
Well, I had a much more primitive looking rink than this one. Where I live, and I'm only maybe a half a mile away from here, so it's very convenient to get here tonight, but where I live on a hill. I have a walkout basement, and my house is on the hill, but down at the bottom of my property, there's an area that was just prairie grass. And the first year I made the rink, I started with the garden hose. I mowed it as flat as I could. I did not use a liner, and I would go out there, and I started with the garden hose. And I realized that the 50-degree, 55-degree water coming out of the ground is going to thaw the ground. So I had to set my alarm for every 2 hours and go and move the hose. And I got kind of, stupid, I guess, is probably the best term for it, because I tried everything. I tried using the sprinkler, thinking it's going to throw the water up in the cold air, and it's going to be cold when it hits the ground. Neighbors thought I was flipping nuts, okay?
Hey, on a windy day, that might have worked.
But I tried every kind of sprinkler, the ones that go like this. I bought a soaker hose that just kind of sprays it out in fine mist. I did the none of them work. Sorry, none of them work. But that's when I had to have 325 feet of hose to get to the far end of my rink from my walkout basement. And I was fortunate because right next to my sliding door, I have a hose spigot. And my basement was unfinished at the time, so I had one of those kids' little swimming pools. They're about 12, 14 inches deep, 6 feet around. It was right inside the door. So every time I flooded, I'd open the door a crack, grab the end of the hose, and start dragging it down the hill to the hockey rink. And then that was the easy part. When you were done flooding, I had to run up the hill, shut the water off, and then start dragging. I had wrists like Popeye by the time the hockey season was over, because you're grabbing that hose and pulling 300 feet of hose up through the woods and through the grass and snow. And so it was, but my rink, the first year, the area looked level. And of course, you don't find out until you start pouring water on it. My rink was 12 or 14 inches deep on one side, and it went to nothing on the other side. So that after that winter, that next summer, I had a friend with a skid steer come in with a transit, and he leveled the area. My rink ended up to be about 55 feet wide and 85 feet long.
Oh, nice.
And after a while, the second year, my neighbor, Bob Graziano from Graziano Electric, offered to let me use his little walk-behind trencher. So I trenched power down there. I had four power poles, one on each corner with a 500-watt halogen light 20 feet up in the air. So we skated at night, and the kids loved it. And one of my fondest memories of that whole thing is two houses up from me, the neighbors can see my rink from the back of their house, and they're both smokers. But they didn't smoke in the house. They would go out and smoke on their deck out the back of their house. And we'd be playing hockey with the kids, and we'd be down there, and somebody would score a goal, and you could hear the neighbors 100 yards away cheering, yay!
That's good. That's good stuff. That's great. You not only built the rink, you got the stands to go along with.
We entertained the kids and the neighbor adults, so yeah.
That's great. Oh. How about you, Trey?
It's been a journey for me. I started small when my oldest was two. He's now 24 and started probably 20 by 30 with a garden hose and then went bigger. It was 48 by 96, kind of always multiples of eight, like plywood boards. Went to some permanent plywood boards. They told my wife she could have a garden inside the hockey rink because, you know, keep the rabbits out. But then the next summer I put concrete down and she's like, what about my garden? So, but, you know, step at a time.
That's what the farmer's market's for.
Exactly. But we're 60 by 120. We're fenced in, so we're stuck with 60 by 120. Nice. So, but made every mistake. I've done the sprinklers. They make kind of a mound. The closer you get to the sprinkler, the higher the mound. So the whole year you'll have a mound there. I did hear the neighbors saying, do you hear a sprinkler? And the husband's like, no, it's wintertime. Like, no, she was right. It was a sprinkler. We have a fire hydrant. We've done it. We did go through the city and got a meter, but yeah, well, they took it away from us eventually.
Yeah, I know. That's
yeah.
That's the part that bugged me.
And I feel like this might be confession. Is this part confession here?
It can be.
It can be.
Okay.
Any preachers in the audience here?
We got a lawyer.
So, So our next door neighbors, they're retired. They're big into their lawn. And fortunately, they go to Florida for the winter. But when I converted back to the garden hose, I would leave it run overnight and things. And the first year I did that, I didn't really pay much attention. And it came out the next morning. Almost no ice on my rink, but their whole backyard was a sheet of ice. So fortunately, they were in Florida. I think they always wondered why they had so much winter kill that year, but I don't know why.
Doc, you didn't mention that you also had a Zamboni, like the real McCoy.
Oh, boy.
Well, what I learned, once you get to a certain size of rink, you know, your body just wears out. There's only so much time in the day. And so you have to go mechanized at some point. And so Chad Olson and I were down at a squirt hockey tournament at the Hartmeyer Arena. And we were sitting in the bleachers and we saw an old Zamboni off in the corner. And we're like, I wonder, what are they doing with that? So Chad went and talked to the rink manager and he didn't really know what they were going to do with it, but Chad talked him into selling it. So I bought it for $2,500.
And Zamboni, a real Zamboni.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so the crossover point for your time is if your time is worth 10 cents an hour or more, then it's cheaper to buy a Zamboni because it saves a lot of time.
Amen.
I should have bought one.
We're going to take a second here to give a shout out to Chippewa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, which has been committed to the healthcare needs of patients in Western Wisconsin since 1954. The orthopedic surgeons and athletic trainers serve many area schools in the Chippewa Valley, and computer recovery associates specializing in removing, monetizing, and recycling computer hardware for large data centers. Whether you're looking to relocate, repurpose, sell, or recycle, computer recovery associates can help. You know, let's piggyback off of that Zamboni deal. So did you sell advertising on the side then, too?
One on the boards.
People would pay what it's worth, which is nothing.
Okay.
So,
Doc, wasn't your Zamboni in the parade? Didn't I see you in a parade driving a Zamboni one time?
I was in a couple parades with it. I was. But then I made the mistake of talking to my insurance agent. They charged me $700 of insurance, liability insurance, to drive it down the Christmas parade in Eau Claire. So that was my last year.
One time deal.
Oh,
yeah.
You should have checked with
us. Darn insurance, man.
Yeah, State Farm insurance.
It would
help. Oh, look, it's time to go.
Okay, so we have a bonafide, tried and true Zamboni. Anything else that you guys had to kind of rig up to make your ice either you get the water on it, like Mike with the hydrant?
Can I go next?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm way more low tech.
Okay. Zamboni. Yeah. So we go from that one end to the other now?
I bought, I made a T-bar out of plumbing pipe, and I had some plexiglass discs on the ends of it to hold it up off the ice, and I drilled 50 holes in the T part of it, and I'd used shower curtain rings and a towel, and I had a quick connector for the hose on the top end of it, and I did that for a couple of years, but it took two people because somebody had to manage the hose as you zigzag back and forth with it. So I got a little bit, well, let's just say it was probably after a 12-pack with a couple of my neighbors, and we decided we went to Menards and bought a wheelbarrow frame. Picture the frame without the barrel part on there. And it's one with two wheels on the front, so it doesn't tip over. I strapped on a 25-gallon water tank, and I bought an aerator pump for like a live well on a boat. Mounted a motorcycle battery on it. I took the end of that T-bar off of my T-bar, and I had it on the pivoting arms so that you could pull a cable and it would lift that towel off the ice, because anybody that's dragged a towel on ice knows if you stop, you're stuck. So you'd have to lift it up off of there, but we could fill that in my garage. I have hot and cold running water in my garage, and we could fill it with hot water.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then we could go and we could put it on. When we were using the garden hose or even that T-bar thing, the ice, and I figured it out, it took me years to figure it out, but when you put too much water on, it freezes on the surface of the ice first, then it freezes from the ambient temperature on top, but there's a middle layer, like the Oreo filling and an Oreo cookie, that doesn't freeze, and when it freezes, it expands and it makes the top layer crinkly, not smooth.
This is a serious science lesson going on here.
After we built the Zamboni thing, I had to go buy those grippers from my boots because you could not stand on it. When you drag a towel with hot water and you're just putting down a paper-thin layer, it made a world of difference. And, yeah, it was some backyard engineering that went into it and lots of lining kugels. But, yeah, it worked, and it worked really well.
I can't imagine being in the brains of these five guys during the off season. Thinking about, okay, what am I going to do next year to make it even better, or to fix something that was a problem? So, easier, less time consuming.
Oh, Mike's chomping at the bit.
All right, go for it, Michael.
I was going to tell Ryan, buying a Zamboni is easier. Way easier. I went one year, and this was on my first rink. I said, how can we make this look better? So I decided Stu Taylor, who was a manager of the rink at the time, had different means of painting the ice. You know, it used to be at one time it was all paper, and then they went to paint, and now it's paint, but many different ways of doing it. So it was like crepe paper, very thin rolls, you know, the red lines and the blue lines. So I decided to put the lines down on my rink. I had a center red line, two goal lines, and maybe a crease, I don't know. But later in the winter, with the sun being out longer to the dark pigment, it would just suck the lines right down. And then you have to build them back up, and then they're not as vibrant. And so it looked good that year for about 3 weeks, but I didn't do it again. It became a lot of work. But it did look cool.
I don't know if you've seen the newest modification. They're doing LED lights under the ice now. Some guys in town.
Wow.
For lines and stuff.
Troy's going to be the first to have them.
Yeah. Exactly. I would be the third that I know of. I know two guys doing it already.
For his outdoor rink. Well, think, you know, going with that, the outdoor rinks that you guys have had, I know, you know, Mike, you've got two boys that went on beyond high school, actually, to play. You know, I think juniors in college, is that correct?
Yep.
And did they attribute some of that ability because of the outdoor rink, or was it just more the fun atmosphere?
Well, I think they had the bonus of both. And, you know, you have the rink out there, and, you know, I'm not going to make them use it, but they couldn't get enough of it. And there's no question in my mind, being involved in hockey as long as I have, teaching from mites, which I still do through college and every other level, there's no question that that rink played a huge part in them having success at the different levels they played, just because they were on the ice. And as any parent of a hockey child will know, that they always, ice time, ice time, ice time. Well, you got it right there in your yard. And if they take advantage of it, there's no question that played a part in them learning the game and you know, sharpening their skills.
All right. I like that. Anybody on this panel have any regrets with the time that they invested in those outdoor rinks?
I have one. I tried a liner one year. But I didn't get the good expensive stuff like these guys are using. Nobody ever told me that. So I went to Farrell Equipment and I bought some sheet plastic. And I had to have two pieces of it because my rink was too wide to get a piece, one piece that would fit it. So I had to buy 200-foot rolls and tape them down the middle. And at the time, my ex-wife was running a child care center in one of the old elementary schools in town here. Closed school, they used it for a child care center. They had a gymnasium. I thought, I'm just going to take this stuff there, roll it out on the gym floor, tape the seam together, fold her up, take it home, put it on the rink.
You're in business, yeah.
I got there by myself. One of the boxes of plastic said on the end of the box, 96 pounds. So this is not a light thing. I got it all in there, and I laid it out, and I realized that the gym is not 60 feet wide, which is what my plastic was, and it's not 100 feet long either. So I got plastic draped up the walls on each side, and up on the little stage on one end. And so I finally get it taped. It took a lot of work. And then I start trying to fold it up and get it so that I can get it back out to my truck. And I had this thing in the middle of the gym about the size of a Volkswagen. And I looked at the doors. It was a double door, but it had the mullion down the middle. So there's no way I'm getting this thing out of there by myself. So I called my neighbor, Mike, who was the guy that came and helped me do all of the flooding. And he lives right over here. He lived in Rhaegar's house. This was his original house. But my friend Mike was the guy that helped me do all of the stuff on the rink. He came and helped me, and we squeezed it out of that single door thing, and we got it into the back of my truck. And my truck at the time had a topper on it, and we could only get about a third of it in the topper part. And the rest of it was sticking on the tailgate and out the back of the truck. We had ratchet straps and bungee cords, and I had to drive home about 5 miles to get it to my house, and then the two of us had to drag it down the hill to the rink area. And that was the last time I ever used a liner.
How did it work? How did it work?
Well, that thin, cheap plastic, it didn't burst, it didn't leak, but everywhere that there was a wrinkle, it worked like an expansion joint and a concrete slab. Oh, sure. That's where it would crack, and it would crack there every time. We'd fill that crack with water. It would look great. The next time there was a 10-degree temperature change, it would crack there again. So,
and those cracks, is it any better at night when you're hearing those cracks? It is.
Yeah. Unless you have a liner in there because you know it's going to be there again next week or the next day temperature changes.
All right, lesson learned on the liner.
Okay,
Anybody else use a liner, or did you guys go without liners? Troy?
I go without this point because the liner I got 1 year covered like 7/8 of the rink, and then there was a big rectangle that was left open. I'm like, now what? So I just taped it down, left it open, and the best ice was that little patch that didn't have the liner in my particular situation. I mean, the liner is nice because you can flood it early. It'll freeze. It'll be self-contained. But, you know, air bubbles are an issue, and so I go without a liner. But there's good arguments on both sides.
All right, Johnny, your rags or Mike, you want to add anything to that?
I'll add to it. So like Troy said, the issue I had once in a while was you would get air bubbles in the liner. So as you're flooding and you do a flood overnight, you get up next morning and look, and everything looks really nice. You know, you got a little swimming pool there waiting for it to freeze. But if you've got an air bubble trapped underneath that, it pushes the liner up, creates an open cavity in there. And when you go to skate, you can tell right away. It's like, this is going to be a bad part of the ice because you can tell it's almost hollow underneath there. So if you're doing a liner, and we did a liner every year, and I really liked it once you figure out how to keep those air bubbles out. But when you're putting it down, you do have to be – I mean, if you were doing – now, if you had Mike's situation where a high fire hydrant right there, you could work those
flood your way out of it
real quick and you're done.
Half an hour of flooding.
Yeah, but when you're flooding overnight out of a garden hose, you can't be there all the time to try to maintain and make sure those air bubbles are out. But, you know, so you'd be out there putting water to it, and then pretty soon all the kids would disappear and you're on your own. It's like, oh, there's an air bubble forming over there. And you get the broom out and try to broom the air bubble out, you know. Well, if you're starting to pool water over there, that air bubble, it's going left or right. It's not going where you want it to go. So it got to be a chore sometimes, but I always did the liner, and it was good.
Mike, you made some gestures with the hose. I can just picture your two boys on the end of that thing when you open up that fire hydrant.
Yeah, I know.
Was it like a cartoon where they flop it all over?
I didn't lose any teeth.
That's what I was thinking. Get whacked in the nose or something.
I cut the metal end off of that one.
Oh, you did? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just to make sure. All
right. So you didn't have a shutoff valve though on the end.
Not quick enough. No. But with regards to the liner, and Sleepy and I were just talking earlier, I did mine different, where most that I know of wrap the liner on the inside to start the rink and fasten it that way. I had my liner around the outside of the boards. So one, I could tighten it really flat as I built one side, the other side, and then the ends. And I would fasten the plastic to the board and then put my stakes in to hold the boards up. So I got 4 or 5 years out of one liner, which typically you get one, because once you cut it down, as we can see out here, if you do cut it down, you're not going to get that exact same size rink the next year, you know, stretching out. So it worked great for me, and I never lost water out the on the outsides. And as it gets thin, though, you got to be careful, because you're always bound to put an edger through it or a shovel. But I remember one year, and it was great. Braxton's birthday is March 11th, and the boys were out on the rink because my philosophy was I'm going to get as much ice as I can while I can make ice. And if it's 8 inches, great. If it's 10, even better, because eventually it's going to go. But they were playing during his birthday on March 11th in shorts, no shirts.
Oh, wow.
And playing just sludge hockey. It was getting slushy, but it was great. And so I always had as much ice as I could, and by using these the plastic on the outside, I had great success with that.
So what was the motivation for you guys to even build that outdoor rink? I know you're all hockey guys for the most part. So what was the reason for it? Why did you do this?
They're all silent.
I think it's an instinct. I think we want to give our kids the same opportunity. I have a theory that in Eau Claire, there's probably the same square footage of ice over the years. When I moved to town in 98, I had heard there were shortly before that like 20 or 22 public rinks. And as those have shrunk, it seems like the outdoor private rinks have sprung up. And so I think it's part of where we live.
Anybody else?
Yeah. I lived in this neighborhood, and at the time it was much more rural than it is now. But there were 6 or 8 neighbor kids, and they'd get home from school, and you know, they're not within walking distance of the mall or doing anything that kids that live in town can do. So I saw these kids, and after I started making the rink, there were no less than 15 or 20 pair of hockey skates and figure skates and stuff in my garage, and hockey sticks leaned up along the outside wall of my garage. And kids would come home, they'd come over to the house. My garage door was always open. They could go in there and put their skates on, and I had a mat to get them out to the snow, and then they could walk down the hill in their skates. There was a bench down. I had never had a warming shack like this. This is amazing.
We'll have to put some pictures.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
I had a bench down there. If you wanted to put your skates on down at the rink, you could do that. But there are still skates in my garage that I don't know whose neighbor kids they belong to. But they obviously outgrew them and didn't want them back. But yeah, it was just something for the kids to do in the wintertime.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Ryan. And, you know, Jessica is from northern Minnesota, and her dad was a 25-year hockey coach, and she played hockey as well in high school, and then played club hockey in college herself. So we knew that if we had the right amount of space, we wanted to have an opportunity to give our kids an ice rink in town. We lived in Altoona originally with a small backyard on a hill, and it was never going to happen. So when we looked for a house, just like Mike described earlier, you're looking for a place to stretch out and roam, and some place for the kids to have some fun. So, you know, our rink, you know, we've got three kids in youth hockey right now, where we're busy probably 6 or 7 nights a week and going 3 different directions with only 2 parents. But, when we do have downtime, you know, if the kids have friends and want to come over, anyone wants to drop in, please do. I mean, I'm going to do the same amount of work if my kids use it or if 50 kids use it, or if no one uses it, I still have to shovel the rink. So I like to tell people, stop by anytime. It's the same amount of work, whether it gets used or not. So it's a labor of love. And, you know, Troy and I, we talk, we work together at the hospital on certain days. And when we watch the weather ahead of time, we're like, okay, what are you going to do now? Are you going to shovel today? Are you going to wait till it freezes? You know, it's a topic of conversation every day that we work together.
Moog.
Oh, that's no. Hey, I just want to shout out a couple of sponsors. Kelly Heating and Electric, dedicated to serving their customers' heating and electrical needs efficiently. They have been named one of Bryant's Medal of Excellence winners. They provide expert advice from a friendly staff that can provide you with the knowledge you need to make the best decisions on your next electrical, heating, or air conditioning project. And also, Dooley's Pub has been Eau Claire's home for hockey and all sports fans since 2005. Dooley's Pub is a proud booster of the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire and local high schools. Dooley's is located on historic Water Street, providing excellent food and service.
Mike, you had mentioned earlier that, you know, you got two boys and it was fun to just look outside and watch those boys and whatever, the neighborhood kids out there just playing and, you know, on their own with no parental supervision. I'm wondering about stories from all you guys. Was there a couple bloody lips out there with a little elbow thrown once in a while?
Any chiclets missing
or anything like that?
Well, we talk about not having boards when I grew up. When as soon as my dad could afford white aluminum siding, that was the end of our rink. One puck in that aluminum siding, it's over. It's over. Yeah, that ended our rink at home, but we had one down the street at the school, so it was good. But, you know, just going back to, for me, it was all about the kids. And just to think of all the kids that skated there, Troy's kids and the Ambersons and the Zockos and the Olsons and numerous kids, I mean, hung out there and played like they did at all the rinks. They moved it around and even friends, Jim Dushman, our late Jim Dushman friend, his granddaughter would come over just to skate and just to have that rink there for use anytime, made every minute of all the cold hours worth, you know, just having those kids have that opportunity for sure.
Absolutely. Any tears anywhere along the lines with the kids on the cold feet? You'll go ahead.
Well, Mike. The story everyone will know about here, I don't know what year it was, but we started at Troy's rink with and Rags, you were there, I believe, but there had to be 20 or 25 supposedly adults. Okay.
for a night. By age.
Yeah, there you go. For a night of adult hockey. And then we started at Troy's and, you know, lo and behold, next thing you know, we have a coach bus. Okay, waiting to go over to our place. So we started at Troy's. Everyone got prepped up pregame and pizza and that. And then we came over to our place. And by then, all the juices were in full flow. And the Thorpe brothers, Ernie and Bobby, and Schwang and Buck and Big Show. I mean, it was a great, great group.
The big hitters.
The big hitters. And my boards were only 2 feet on the sides and four on the end. So those sides, there were some people going over the boards. And lo and behold, Bobby and Ernie got into it a bit. And I don't know the details, but it wasn't pretty. But we kept playing as long as we could and stand up, and it got very competitive as it normally would. But that was a great outdoor memory for the adults, like I said, supposed athletes. Now, I don't know if my neighbors appreciated 3 hours of the banter that was going on. It wasn't at church, I can tell you that.
Rex, you had something to say.
I was there, Mike. And so that was going to be my story as well. So it was called the Frozen Femur Classic.
Yeah. Frozen Femur.
With a couple of orthopods, we had Dr. Troy Berg and Dr. John Drobert. We got together and we decided how we're going to make this adult game. Mm-hmm. And we're going to meet at Hobbs Ice Arena with the coach bus. We're going to load up there. Then we go over to Ray's to maybe lube up, like you said, get your pre-game meal.
Yeah.
And we just drew names out of the hat that these are going to be the teams. And whatever it is, it is. From there, we went to Troy's house, and he's got a beautiful outdoor rink. And we were playing there, and there's players of different abilities. So we decided not to go skates. We were going to go boots so everyone could participate.
3-on-3.
But you guys, you've got some guys can really tee up a one-timer and some guys can barely stick handle. So the haves and the have-nots, and it didn't matter. Everyone's in the same. It was like the gauntlet. Just yeah, gladiators out there. But we had pizza at Troy's place, and then we moved. We brought the coach bus to Mike's house, and at the end of the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, cul-de-sac. I'm thinking, how's
this bus getting out of here?
Back it up.
Beer and...
And we were in Mike's warming shack, yeah. The shed in the backyard, and it was great. It was 3-on-3 hockey, and I think we had a tennis ball or foam puck, but there was... There was a lot of cuss words, and I thought there was going to be some fisticuffs a few times, and maybe somebody dropped some teeth out. Maybe somebody got hit in the face with a stick. And yeah, so the hat, exactly. But that was a great memory of Eau Claire outdoor hockey.
Well, you guys mentioned Bobby and Ernie Thorpe. For our listeners, Bobby Thorpe and Ernie are both Eau Claire natives. Bobby is currently the assistant coach at UW Eau Claire. And Ernie, his brother, has played hockey at various levels, I think, including the Great Lakes Hockey League. And he was known for being a rather large, intimidating individual. And Bobby's no small guy either. So I can only imagine those two brothers locking horns had to be something else out there on the ice rink.
That might be another podcast episode. I don't know.
They cracked my ice. Well, Bobby cross-checked Ernie, had him horizontal 3 feet off the ice. He fell down, cracked it.
Oh,
yeah. In that one low spot.
Right? WWE.
Whoops.
There was an air pocket there.
Did any of you ever, in the time that you've had your rinks, look at your kids and have to say, get your butts out away from that doggone TV and get out on the ice?
Never. No, never. In fact, where I live... We didn't have cable TV there, so the kids didn't sit and watch TV. And if they had a video game, it was the old Atari or Pong that I had as a kid, and they didn't like that, so they were always outside, whether it was summer, winter, whatever. They were outside in the wintertime. They were on the hockey rink.
That is a fine sleeper, just so you know.
Yeah, just for our listeners.
A cell phone fine.
Ability was on silence, but that's an alarm.
Oh. All right, we're still not letting you off the hook,
no,
buddy.
No, you're fine.
Sorry.
If anything, that alarm was get ready for hockey. It's Wednesday night hockey.
That is true. All right.
No, you're getting old. You
okay, okay so, he's forgiven.
Yeah. So a couple guys, did you guys that haven't spoken yet, did you have any epic episodes on your outdoor rink? Nothing? Yeah. No? No broken bones? No?
We had one concussion. We always did New Year's. We always did New Year's Eve at my house, and the kids would go and skate early in the evening. The parents would be up in the house. Well, the parents decided it'd be good to go challenge the kids to a game, and a couple of the parents didn't skate very often, and one of them decided he was going to try to skate backwards. Made it about 3 feet, and bang,
boom, yeah,
yep. Down on the ice he went, and tripped to the emergency room later. And
so it kind of skates backwards like me.
Yeah, just pretty much.
Any advice to parents, you guys, who are considering putting a rink up as far as either putting it up or regrets or anything like that?
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but do it. There's something zen-like about it. You know, it's 9 at night. You don't feel like going out. It's 5 below, but you get out there. Nice, peaceful. Maybe you're just fatigued and sore and everything, but there's something just relaxing about it, and feels good for that purpose. And then seeing the kids and whoever their friends or whoever use it, it's worth it just for that.
That's so cool. You know, when Flagger, you talked about leaving your garage door open and kids had their skates and sticks just leaning up against the garage. I'm assuming that a lot of you guys do the same thing. And what a wonderful opportunity for kids to go out there and, you know, work on their skills or just, you know, kill some time, have some fun with their friends. I mean, great, good old-fashioned fun.
Absolutely. And, you know, we are sitting amongst a lot of hockey friends here in this warming shack, and want to give a shout-out to Flyers Hockey, our men's league, who sponsored us tonight with some adult beverages and
some pizzas.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll thank the hero, Johnny Leary, for that. And then guest appearances by Ops, who's delivering the beer to us.
Thank you, Ops. Appreciate it. Thanks, Lears. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, Moog, I think this has been you got another shout-out here?
No, we're good. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
Guys, thanks a lot for your time. This has been an absolute blast, and I hope when this comes out that people enjoy it as much as we have so far.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you know, you talked about all of the hockey people that are here in this room. Have you ever thought about how much hockey experience there is here? How many years of hockey in this room right now?
Decades right now.
It is.
Decades.
Oh, it's hundreds
centuries.
Of years. Yeah, centuries.
Mike, did you have anything
to add? I didn't say thanks. It was great to share those stories because, you know, as you go on, I haven't had a rink for 5 or 6 years. I still see the remnants of the outlines of it, but eventually I had to take down even the boards that the boys used just for shooting in the off season. But just to get to reminisce and hear the other stories, and you could relate to them, and it was great to bring them back up and share them.
You still got your warming house?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do.
Is that the dog house in case you get...
My dog house.
All right, Moog.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys, for coming. I appreciate it. Especially, we got to thank the Ragors for having us here at the Hockey Shack. Wonderful shack. Nice, warm, heated. A couple of, like JC said, adult beverages. We're going to get in some pizza here and soon.
Hockey Pops.
Yeah, Hockey Pops. Yeah, exactly. And obviously, thanks to our guests for coming. You guys, it was so fun just watching you kind of go back in time and reminisce about all the things you've done with your hockey rinks and thinking about the memories, and that's cool. And I'm hoping some of our Wednesday night hockey guys are also thinking back to some of their great memories that they've had on the outdoor rinks, because I know every one of them spent hours and hours and hours out there. So very cool. I'd like to thank our audience as well. And a special thank you to our sponsors, Kelly Heating and Electric, Computer Recovery Associates, Dooley's Pub, and Chippewa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. And as always, folks, please follow us on Instagram and Twitter and visit us on our website at thebreakoutsessions.com. And as always, till our next episode, stay on your inside edges. Catch your breath.